it's new, Nate.
I just got back from my first deer hunting trip of the year this past weekend.
Holy crap, dude. It's November. And that,
I know. It's sad. It's really sad. But it's the middle of the rut down here, or up here, I guess I should say. We're on a Florida podcast. The weather was perfect. It was in the mid to low 30s in the morning, up into the 50s, 60s in the afternoon. And first morning, I get there, I'm sitting on the ground, and I've got these gloves that have like the mitt pullover things. It's like fingerless, but they have the mitts that pull over, right?
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, and it's like right after daylight, I look to my right, and I see the body of a deer like 20 yards away. I was like, oh, crap, a deer. And I kind of like adjust that way a little bit to get my gun up, and his head cleared the bush, and I could see it was a buck. It's like a decent buck, at least 8 points, not real wide, but tall, narrow. Definitely a buck I was going to shoot. And so I click my safety off, and I go to like to aim and get my finger on the trigger, and I realize I still have my mitt up on my glove. And so my finger's like, it's one big finger, right? And so I like, at this point, I like start to try to get the mitt off of my hand to like get my finger exposed, and he's looking at me. He's looking right at me. He's really close. Oh. And I'm like, hurry up, hurry up. And I finally get it off, and by the time I get my hand back on the trigger, he's like gone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my best opportunity at a deer in like years, and I blow it because I'm an idiot. And there's like 4 billion things I could have done differently. I should have waited. He had no idea I was there. I should have waited for him to walk a little further. And anyway, there was a lot of things. I should have not had my mitt on, obviously.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Favorite. Are we going to have to fire him right here on the air?
Right.
He said
you
it
should.
Was just one big finger.
Have you looked into right. our Help Me Hunt program?
Yeah. I need a mentor. I'm brand new at this, obviously.
What the heck, Nate? This is
it was
amateur
crazy.
Hour.
It was crazy, but it was a great encounter because this was my first time in this spot, and I basically picked this spot on a map. Looking beforehand, I was like kind of validated my e-scouting prowess, you know.
E-scouting.
No, it didn't because no matter how good you are at e-scouting, you walked out there with a giant finger. Like one, I don't even know how to describe it. Like
one of those foam fingers. It's like one of those. It's like basically I could have had on a foam finger. It wouldn't have made any difference.
So awesome.
Oh my God, dude. I've got to have an internal struggle. Do I even leave this in the podcast or do I just say what's new, Nate, and then put some funny music there?
You have to, because it's got to be like reassuring to all the first timers or like new hunters that listen that like, hey,
new hunters, right? First timers, right?
Even the pros.
Yeah. But even the people that listen to it for a long time, they're going to be like, man, I'm checking out on this. This is amateur hour.
Everybody's whiffed it.
Dude, if they're listening to this and they haven't done that, they haven't been hunting long enough.
Exactly.
Right. I could also tell the story about the time me and my brother whiffed on 4 turkeys that were 20 yards in front of us. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, like that, maybe we'll have that story next week. Maybe it'll be story time with Nate.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure Landon Blankenship and I have killed a bunch of ducks combined in our lifetime. And I think it was last duck season where we both pulled the trigger on models and our guns went click. Neither one of us had a shell in the chamber.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to get you an archery mentor.
Yeah, we're both guys that are kind of in, you know, the duck space professionally, and neither one of us had a shell in our gun. So that's cool.
That's cool. At least I had a bullet in the gun. I knew I had a bullet in the gun.
What's new with you, Trav?
What's new with me is just got back from sunny Jacksonville, Florida. What would you call Jacksonville?
The weirdest town I've ever been to.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the Austin of Florida.
Really? Jacksonville is just something else, man. It's like
is.
A whole nother place.
It
like
is.
It shouldn't belong in the United States, probably.
It's like I told Travis, like if you're from Central Florida, it's like a collection of a bunch of different Lakelands from different eras. Like Lakeland present day, Lakeland 90s, Lakeland early 2000s, and the crowds
that's
are
great.
So like weirdly diverse, but it was great.
It was great. We went up there for friend of the show, listener of the show, OG listener of the show, Chris Schultz. They did a benefit auction for him, and we didn't have any money. We walked into this auction that they had like an amazing array of stuff. I've been to a lot of DU, National Wild Turkey Federation, CCA. I used to work for CCA. I've been to a million of those auctions. This was a good event. Like they put on a really good event. They got some nice stuff donated. Would they have a Montana, Bozeman, Montana?
Yes, like a chalet in Bozeman, Montana. Starting bid was $2,000.
Yeah, it slept
for like a week.
Slept
like,
eight. Used to be owned by William Devane. Emily's like, do we have enough money in savings? We could just buy that, and then we'll get listeners to go with us. I'm like, first off, boo, you don't even know our listeners. Like, some of these people are insane.
Right.
As long as our door locks at night.
She wanted to do like a giveaway on this show, like for people to go to Bozeman, Montana with us. I'm like, I don't think that's
not a giveaway.
Budget.
I wanted them to pay to go with us.
I missed that in the whole conversation.
Oh my God. I was like, we could pick patrons, you know?
Patreons?
To come with us, yeah.
We could pick Patreons?
Oh.
So yeah, but we're not taking Patreons to Montana with us. Patrons. If they want to be a patron for like $1,000 a month, we'll take them to Montana.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. Or they could just.
We'll take you about anywhere if you're going to be a patron for $1,000 a month.
That level is available if anyone's interested. However, let me get back to the thing. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to Chris Schultz's GoFundMe. It was nice to finally meet him. I know you know Nate. Like, he's one of the guys that like interacted with us through like D-Wood Nasty. Like, he would come back and redo his review.
Right.
And he did it the day before his accident. He got a really bad accident on his motorcycle and he lost his leg. And just a salt of the earth guy. He's got a job, but he also is a fishing guide. And, you know, obviously everybody that does that is looking one day to transition full time. And anyway, just super cool to go be part of that community. Met some other listeners of the show. Got to finally meet Joe Polito, who's been an OG listener of the show.
Yep, and his fiance who designed our logo,
Steph Hosh. Who designed
I'm a little
our
jealous.
Logo.
I'm a little jealous I wasn't there.
They were
honestly.
Really nice people. It was great to meet
everybody. Yeah, so Chris Herrera, Captain's Barbecue, did the catering there. And so, just really cool. It was cool to see a community come together around a guy, like an outdoorsman. And I just thought it was a special thing to go be a part of. So that's what's new with me. What is new with you, Emily?
We have some new reviews.
Boom.
I will read them now.
Hold on. Before you read them, should we say why we need reviews?
Sure.
Do you want me to say why we need reviews? Or
yeah.
Are you in a grumpy mood?
Yes.
You are in a grumpy mood. Do you think that's coming through to our listeners right now? Do you think they feel
it's all about it's all about tone.
I think I was doing all right until you interrupted me.
I didn't know if we wanted to lay some groundwork about reviews.
Go for it, big boy.
Reviews are how people find our show on iTunes. So the more good reviews we get, the more 5-star reviews we get, the better off our show is. How does that work? The more people that find our show. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Read the damn reviews.
So this first one is from somebody named Douglas. He says, I first met Travis at the UCF Fishing Club meeting. He gave an amazing speech about
conservation.
Okay, but that's not what it says.
I gave an amazing speech about conservation.
Autocorrect. He gave an amazing speech about conservation and made me want to get more involved in Orange and Seminole County. He also told me the least remembered call sign in Top Gun was Sundown.
Sundown.
I've been listening to y'all's podcast every day while working at CCA. All of you are hilarious. I love the drafts you do, and it's a great podcast to listen to, and it's definitely made this 22-year-old want to get more involved in conservation. P.S. This is very important. P.S. Jack Ryan Season 2 has me hooked, and I'm buying honey buns this week to try Stay Woke.
That's us influencing the people.
Yeah, I still need to watch it. Still haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. You haven't watched it because my phone has blown up in the past week with listeners talking about Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
And the consensus is I'm exactly right. Jim Halpert is throwing 1,000 miles an hour. Like, he's at his absolute peak. This is apex Jim Halpert.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with the leading lady is he is so hot, there's no one you could cast opposite of
him. Yeah.
Like, if you went and got in her prime Kathy Ireland, she couldn't keep up with Jim Halpert right now. That's how good he is as Jack Ryan.
Okay. If you're done talking about how hot another man is, I have another review. This one is called Top 5 Outdoor Podcasts from Scuba Steve. I feel like we could ask him to rank us since he's listened to the show and he's got us in their top 5. I wonder where we fall.
Oh, we're for sure.
Number one?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Five. We're for sure five.
Since we don't have that information available, we're number one.
I'm with Nate. I'm like, we're for sure five. Maybe, probably six.
We barely snuck in at five.
Yeah. booked a hunt with Travis, who turned me on to the podcast, and I'm glad he did. I started on episode one and Netflix-style binged all episodes up through the Black Bear discussion.
Hold on.
Should we have a t-shirt that we give people who do that?
That's dedication right there. That is
awful. I'm so sorry and thank you.
Yeah, or...
Thanks for sticking with us, honestly.
Yeah.
Like a therapist reference. Like, here are some...
Some good therapists in Polk County. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a crew that does not play politics and gets right down to the bottom of what's truly important. At the same time, they have a lot of laughs along the way. Keep it up. Thanks, Scoop.
We don't
play
politics, do we?
We don't.
I think we don't.
We try to give a well-rounded view of
if by politics you mean do we ride party lines? No, we do not at all. We give factual information and we give our opinions regardless of what we might think of what it is. You know,
and we're okay being wrong on our opinions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we try to be thoughtful and measured if the opinion is something that matters, and we try to be as off the cuff and hot take-ish as possible if the opinion does not matter.
Right.
Like about Jim Halpert.
Jack Ryan. Wow.
Lots and lots and lots of feedback from last week's show.
Okay, let's set it up. So if somebody's first time listening is this week, we're talking about episode 108. Which was the North American conservation model. We stepped through the seven tenets of the model as just kind of like an introductory session to what it is. Also, if you're looking at our feed, you might see that our number system gets messed up every week by a new show we're doing on the side called Conversations, where we kind of deep dive into stuff more with interview style with other people.
Yeah. So first off, let's start there. Did you listen to this week's interview with Bill Cooksey?
Yes, I did.
How interesting is Bill Cooksey?
Yeah, he's the coolest guy in the world. I've already decided. Like, he is friends with what was the
Gene,
what's the
Gene
author's
Hill.
Name? Gene Hill. Holy crap! I have his book. I've read his book. Like, I want to be friends with Gene Hill. Come on.
The first time Bill told me that story, and I really did. Like, I had to drag that. I was like, dude, I'm gonna need you to drop some of these names because I geeked out when I found this out, and I'd known him for a while. Before I'd ever heard this, like, he didn't just walk around throwing that out there. I'm right. Like, wait, Gene Hill. And he's like, yeah, he's a nice guy. My dad knew him, and just wow. But Bill is just so, you've met Cooksey before.
I have. He's so kind, so kind and very interesting.
Yeah. He's just a fascinating dude. And he's one of those guys you want at your campfire.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
Because even if he disagrees with you, you're going to have a great discussion about it and leave better informed. Bill and I have gone at it before at dinner about habitat management and stuff before. Fantastic conversations, though, man. That's what you really love and you're like
right.
engaged about. So just one of the really good guys in conservation and in the outdoors. Going back to listener comments, friend of the show, Dean Gerber. Official friend of the show, Conservation Club member, Dean Gerber. Can I start using that distinction? Is that big time?
Nice.
Yeah, that's one of our Patreon levels.
He actually did not weigh in necessarily on the North American conservation model so much as previous episodes, the Halloween episode. He said, I'm glad to get past the Millennial's Guide to Halloween is what he called it. And he said he would mail some grass, and I thought he meant like some non-traditional substance, to
right,
your brother,
right.
Matt, who was on a Halloween episode, but he meant actual grass because he said watching that grow would be better than Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Office, Parks and Rec.
But more importantly, he's wrong, but okay.
But more importantly, Dean ranked three redheads for the, we will from time to time rank things on the show, and Dean ranked his top three redheads, and they were Ginger on Gilligan's Island, which...
Classic.
Yeah, I'm old enough to know who that is, obviously through Rerun. But she could still get it.
Right.
In 1982, Ginger could still get it. And Margaret, who I had to Google because I didn't know who that was.
I don't think I knew who that was either.
But I guess she's a redhead from like the 30s or something, 50s, whatever.
Okay.
Sorry, Dean.
Right.
I'm not trying to offend you here. And then Julia Roberts, which I think was also a solid choice.
I was going to say, are all Dean's redheads dead? And I thought he sent grass to Matt as like a get off my lawn kind of thing. Like, he's really leaning into the boomer side of the world.
Also, before we move into anything more serious, following up on last week's episode, Adam Mobley would like for us to stop trying to push Taylor Swift's crappy music on everyone. And
get out of here, Adam.
Yeah. Get off our lawn, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Mike Keaton was, whoa, FSU Bulldogs and hair dryers. Not sure if I can continue working today. He was, that was a strong episode, I feel like, when we were able to work all that into it. I do have some serious comments on our episode. So we're talking about episode 108, as Emily mentioned, where we unpacked the North American conservation model. And Tom Collins and Mike Keaton had an interesting exchange. Tom said, so I have a position here that I think is useful. You guys keep talking about hunters and conservation. I say that participation in conservation does not make a hunter a conservationist. Let me explain. If you buy your duck stamp every year, you are participating in conservation by putting your money in the mix. If you buy a duck stamp, even if you know you won't get to hunt ducks during the season, you're doing so for conservation. The intent is the deciding factor in the conservationist label. I think the conversation needs to be had there, though. How important is that label? For the average hunter, I think it is not that big of a deal. For the people in it for the long haul, for generation to come, it starts to become a big deal. And Mike Keaton came kind of in behind him and said, I would venture to say most hunters are consumptionists, not conservationists.
That's a good point. I like the way he put that, actually. I really did.
How do you feel about that, Nate?
Like, I feel like he's right, though. I mean, I feel like most hunters go out to get their deer, to get their ducks, to get their whatever, you know, go home and eat it. I mean, they're trying to feed their families, I think. A lot of hunters are like this. And then they don't really think about conservation impacts that they could be having if they put a little bit of effort into conservation.
Also got a comment from, I'm not going to say the name of this one because I thought it was a really interesting comment and he didn't want to, because of his job, he didn't want to go on the record, but I think this is really interesting. Hey, Travis, been really enjoying the podcast and the conservation talks y'all have been doing. I do have some thoughts on y'all's bear talk. Hunting and conservation land are just two legs to a three-legged stool. The third leg, and the one that impacts all wildlife, is the management of that land. The bear lovers not only want to not hunt the bears, but they want to change aspects of the way we currently manage our public lands, and that in turn will hurt the current wildlife, both game and endangered. That's going back to our bear hunt conversation last Thursday.
Right. No, I mean, he's right. I mean, any alteration of the management to manage for, really to manage against one species is a managing against all species on the landscape. Now, if you manage for one species, you typically manage for all the other species.
Yeah, I think that's called an umbrella species plan. When you have certain species, and bear is an umbrella species, I think that's even called out in the FWC plan. When you manage for bears, you end up managing for a lot of species. But there's also single species management wherein you can manage for a species that doesn't, it leaves out other species.
Right.
So thank you for that comment. Like I said, I needed to keep that anonymous because he was worried about his job. The only other thing I have to add on here is going back to episode 107 from former friend of the show and former co-host of the show, Josh Watts. I guess in episode 107, we mentioned the pumpkin spice.
Right.
Love. Like, we brought pumpkin spice back, and we almost lost Watts, is what happened. So, and
well, we can't win them all.
And it's not Cast and Blast Mississippi.
Right.
You know
exactly
what I mean? Like, maybe he needs to tune in for that.
Right, yeah.
I told you it was touch and go, but we were glad we could save it. Josh Watts, if you listen back to, I think it's episode 104, Josh calls out Big Pumpkin Spice as his conspiracy and his release, and is the word passionate about that?
Yeah, he was fairly passionate about it. That's a good word.
Also of note, before we move on to our main segment, is after this episode airs, everything that occurs in Back to the Future, the movie, including going to the future, has happened in the past.
Oh, my God.
Did I just wrinkle your brain?
Yeah, a little bit.
Emily, have you seen Back to the Future, the movie?
Negative.
Wow. This is what I'm dealing with, folks.
And after next week, it'll be irrelevant, so it doesn't matter.
Right, no spoilers.
Also, before we get off this subject, the intro to last week's episode.
Yeah?
Can we talk about that for a second? Because it was fire. It was so good.
Where would you rank that intro in the history of intros to the podcast?
I mean, to the podcast, like number one by a billion.
Wow.
Like it was so good. Like as soon as you started rapping, I immediately got the reference And immediately this huge smile just came across my face. It was like, those crazy people, they did it. They freaking did it. So kudos, hats off. Didn't even know you were going to do that. And it was awesome.
Thank you.
We typically do a mic check before Nate gets on.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are pretty fun. And used to, if you're, well, you, if they're an OG listener, you used to do that.
Do what?
All the intros with the bloopers.
Oh, yeah. Like, so when the show first, like the first year of the show, I edited all the episodes. So I would like put in bloopers or like clips of us singing stupid stuff, just being idiots. And then Travis took over and he's really gotten editing down to like 20 to 30 minutes, but you don't have any of that stuff anymore.
Well, we've also gotten better at podcasting.
Yeah, we don't have as many bloopers.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, used to, I remember in one episode, Nate fumbled over the name of the podcast 12 times and I made fun of him.
Yeah.
And then I fumbled over my name 6 times.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Like, I can't get on to you too much more because the podcast was a new name. I've had my name for years. Trey Knight messaged me and he said it was 6:34 in the morning and I spit my drink all over my mouth.
out of
my mouth, all over my uniform. So
nice.
That's what we were really looking to do.
It was great.
The,
it was so good.
The rap intro. That was inadvertent.
It was fun.
We'll catch lightning in a bottle again, I'm sure.
We need a new rap. If anybody has a rap suggestion, send it in.
It doesn't have to be a rap.
It should, though.
Should be a rap.
Emily is a rap aficionado.
I can rap.
She can rap.
I don't write raps.
Yeah, yes, you did. You wrote an Arkansas duck rap one time.
Oh, I did.
You did.
About going to Arkansas and not shooting ducks. And it was fantastic. It was legendary. We will break that out of the archives at some point for some folks.
Maybe the next live show.
Okay. What are we talking about?
Guns. God, this episode stresses me out, fellas.
Why is it stressing you out?
Because what we're talking about today is like misconceptions or misunderstood language around guns, and right, so it has to do with like, you call this a clip, you call this a magazine, this is this type of gun, a pistol versus a handgun, and it's just like so many words in this article, and I was just overwhelmed. So I'm gonna be the dumb one and ask y'all questions, and you can clarify it, and
okay,
hopefully I'll make our listeners smarter too.
You want to start?
Yeah. So this basically came from this article on gunsandammo.com, the 9 most misused gun terms. Let's start with this one. Clip versus magazine.
The main difference between a clip and a magazine is the way the bullets are loaded into it. So a magazine is an enclosed container that holds ammunition. A clip is literally like a little piece of metal usually that just holds the end of the cartridges, the rounds, by like the little lip where the extractor grabs it. So the magazine is enclosed. A clip is not. A clip has exposed ammo on it. So if you think about it,
like what they wear, like a seatbelt around their chest, like Rambo.
No.
That's a bandolier.
Bandolier. Yep. Another term. There you go. We learned something else today. Bonus thing. But no, a clip is like, if you, for our listeners, back in World War I, the old 1903 Springfields, those rifles had a clip, and it had like a clip of 5 rounds, and you stuck the clip on top and shoved the rounds down into the gun, and then you hit the bolt and the clip popped out, like it was just discarded. A magazine is what you see on like your modern, semi-automatic pistols, or
yeah,
AR-15s.
Your Glock 19
right.
has a...
Right, or your AR-15s or whatever. That's a magazine.
Where do you call people out for calling a magazine a clip?
No, not usually. I don't.
I think it was the M1... I think I heard that like on the M1 Garand, like the World War II, that the way they described it is a clip feeds a magazine in that weapon.
Yes, okay, yeah.
The magazine feeds the gun.
Right.
That's how you can distinguish between the two.
Yeah. So a clip feeds. So that's good. That's a good distinction. Yeah.
This also says that the magazine holds shells under spring pressure.
Yeah. That's what Nate was essentially
saying. Yeah.
A clip is just.
A clip is just a mechanism to get bullets in the gun faster. A magazine actually holds the bullets or holds the rounds in like into the gun, if that makes sense.
A bandolier is what you wear if you are taking on the U.S. Marshals or the Texas Rangers and you are an outlaw,
right,
like Pancho Villa.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I know this one. Accuracy versus precision.
Do you want to take a run at it?
I learned about this. I feel like I talk about this a lot lately, but you learned about it in project management. It's kind of like a common term in business, even outside of firearms. Well, like you can be precise. Like if you picture a target, you can hit the top right corner of it 5 times. That's precision. Or you can hit the target and that's accurate. So you can be precise and not accurate, or accurate and not precise.
Right. That's good. Precise is 3 bullets like touching each other. Mm-hmm. Accuracy is 3 bullets hitting the target, like just like you said. Or, you know, precision is hitting the spot you're aiming every time. Accuracy is hitting a general area around your spot every time.
Okay, next one is a pistol versus a handgun.
Do you use these differently?
No, I don't, actually.
I don't either.
I really don't. I didn't even know there was really a distinction, but...
To me, every handgun is a pistol, and every pistol is a handgun.
Right.
I do think I use pistol to describe... I'm more likely to use pistol to describe a like a revolver.
Right.
Or like a little Saturday Night Special, right, like Derringer-type gun. Like I would definitely... I would not call that a handgun. I would call it a pistol.
Right. No, it's a good point.
But the other way, I would definitely call all the concealed carry type guns and stuff like that, I would call them pistols.
Right.
You have an issue with that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay. So assault rifles versus assault weapons versus semi-automatic rifles. And like, this is like controversial. It feels weird to talk about because the media has done a number on it. The gun groups themselves have done a number on it. Terrorism is a thing, but they do have their own definitions. I think we should cover them.
Right. So an assault rifle usually refers to a fully automatic weapon. So like an AK-47 that is fully automatic, or a M4 that is fully automatic, would be considered an assault rifle. Now, I don't like that term at all. Like, I just feel like it's just, again, like you said, the media's just totally just like ran that one through the mud. Now an AR, when we refer to AR-15s, AR does not refer to assault rifle. It refers to Armalite rifles. And it's named after the original company that started making them back in the 90s.
Hmm.
Armalite. So whenever you hear someone say AR-15, don't think assault rifle. Think Armalite rifle. Armalite 15.
I was this many years old when I found out that.
Right. Wow. Right.
I had no idea.
An assault weapon is a made-up term altogether, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Even assault rifle, like I said, I don't really like that term. If you're going to call anything an assault rifle, it's like fully automatic. Like if you're going to call anything.
Here's the problem. A semi-automatic rifle is an AR-15.
Correct.
But it's also the .22 that I squirrel hunt with.
Right. And it's also that old Remington model, whatever, that, you know, people deer hunt with all the time, you know.
Is my pistol a semi-automatic?
It is.
It is.
So what does a semi-automatic mean?
So semi-automatic means every time you pull the trigger, a round fires. Fully automatic means you pull the trigger once, multiple rounds fire.
You hold the trigger and it shoots.
Right. Right. Semi-automatic means it's semi, like sort of automatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time you pull the trigger, you have to reset the trigger every time in order for it to fire.
So is a pump shotgun considered a semi-automatic?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's considered a pump. It's considered a pump shotgun. I mean, because you're
doing another action to
shoot.
Right.
That's what I was
correct.
Asking.
Yeah. You have to rack it. And a bolt action rifle is not a semi-automatic. It's a bolt action because you have to rack the bolt every time you want to fire.
But like your dad's shotgun that I've shot is a semi-automatic.
Correct. My shotgun's a semi-automatic.
Okay. Right.
I learned a thing. Cool.
Excellent.
Thank you for letting me go back to that one because I needed that. Next one is a cartridge versus a bullet versus a caliber.
I'll start with caliber because every cartridge is a caliber. Every bullet is a caliber. A caliber is the actual size of the bullet that you're shooting. .30-06 is a 30 caliber bullet designed in 1906. .30-06.
I didn't know that.
Learned something. A 270 is a 0.27 inch diameter bullet.
Mm.
A 308 is a 0.308 inch diameter bullet. Cartridges, now I'll go back to, yeah.
I have a
question in the back there.
I literally raised my hand. A .30-06, when you say, so what size is that one again?
30 caliber, 0.30 inches.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah. So any of these is anytime you see like a three number cartridge, it's in inches.
The decimal's in front.
Correct. Now, a 9mm is a 9mm diameter bullet.
Okay.
Now, hold on. When I say bullet, I talk about the point of the cartridge. The part
Correct.
That's going to projectile and leave the...
Correct.
The gun, right?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Hold on. So we covered caliber, so now we need to do cartridge
right.
versus bullet.
So the bullet is the actual projectile that leaves the gun. The whole thing is not a bullet. The whole thing is a cartridge. That's the entire thing put together,
the
ready to fire.
The cartridge encapsulates the bullet. It
doesn't encapsulate
sort of.
It. It sits on the front
it
of
is.
It.
It is. Right. So the cartridge is the bullet inside the casing, unfired, ready to go. That's the full cartridge. The bullet is the actual thing on the end that fires out of the barrel.
So think about your handgun. You've got the little tip at the end,
mm-hmm.
the hollow point or whatever. That's the bullet. The cartridge is the whole thing. The brass part of the bullet doesn't go out the gun. It ejects out the side.
Right,
or
right.
the brass part of the cartridge ejects out the side.
Correct.
So another word for cartridge is your brass.
Yeah, but the cartridge is the
entire thing.
Fully live ammunition. Yeah, it's the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
That's a cartridge. And then you can split the cartridge into the brass that ejects, the spent brass, and then the bullet that goes out the barrel.
Okay. I was asking because on NCIS, they talk about police your brass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That means pick up your spent ammo.
Yeah. Okay, next one, extractor versus ejector.
This is Nate's too, because Nate loves this more than anything in the world.
I do like this kind of stuff. Okay, so the extractor is the actual little piece that holds the shell.
People
so
can't
the little,
see your fingers on the radio.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it's the little... So if you look at a semi-automatic shotgun...
It's a little claw, almost.
It's the little bitty claw. Yeah, and it grabs the end of the shell. And when the ejector comes back, the extractor... grabs that shell, and as it comes back, it releases that shell and flips the empty bullet off the side, bullet cartridge.
The better
off to the side.
The better way to think extractor versus ejector is on a over and under or a side by side.
Right.
When you break those open on.
So yeah, when you break, you can buy them two different ways. You can buy them with ejectors or with extractors. Extractors, when you open the thing, when you break open the gun, it just pops the shell out a little bit, and you have to grab it with your hand and pull it out. Ejectors actually shoot the empty shell out of the gun. Like you don't have to touch
your shoulder.
It just pops it right out. That's a good distinction there.
Okay, next one is shells versus shot shells.
I think those are interchangeable. Well, no, I'm sorry. Shells and shot shells to a shotgunner are the same thing. Where are your
right.
shells? What you don't say, unless you're just going full semi-auto crazy person, is where your bullets for your shotgun?
Right. Shells can be any type of live ammunition.
Correct.
Can cover pistol, rifle, shotgun. But shot shells are actual shotgun shells.
Cartridges are shells.
Yep.
Right.
Sense. Okay, suppressor versus silencer.
One of those is a made-up word.
Yeah, so there's no such thing as a silencer. Let's just start there. No such thing as a silencer. Anytime you see a suppressor in the movies and it goes like pew, like it makes that little high pitch kind of like, you know, weird
yeah.
noise, that's not the way suppressors work. Suppressors is just a dulled down version of an actual shot. Like it's still kind of loud. You can still hear it, but it's not going to blow your eardrums out if you do it 100 times. There's no such thing as a silencer. There are only suppressors, and all the suppressor does is capture a lot of the escaping gas and dissipate it before it goes out the end of the barrel. So that's what the expanding gas is, what makes the sound. And so that just captures the expanding gas and reduces the amount of gas
going
out the
end of the barrel. Do you wish people could see Nate's hands right now as he's describing this?
I was thinking about, I wonder if anybody's ever farted into a silencer.
Oh my God. No, Emily.
There's no such thing as silencers.
Oh, sorry. A suppressor.
But
hold on.
ATF uses silencer in
yes,
their paperwork.
The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms uses the term silencer in the official
yeah.
paperwork. So maybe either term is okay.
Dumb. That's really dumb.
But
really
have
dumb.
You ever, speaking of all of this, there's a great episode of Parks and Rec, because this is how we can relate. There's a great episode of Parks and Rec where they go hunting. And Ann Perkins, played by the incomparable Rashida Jones, it takes a shot and the gun doesn't move at all. The gun literally doesn't move, which is, I've told Emily, I'm like, that's the greatest example at all. After she had shot a gun a few times, I'm like, that's the greatest example of all of special effects in Hollywood. Like, it's the same reason your silencer doesn't go pew.
Right.
Because that's not a real thing.
Yeah, exactly. All
right, let us know in the comments on Facebook or send us messages what we have missed as far as misused gun terms, what terms you guys use, and or any corrections, comments, or derogatory remarks.
This is very helpful for me.
Well, there you go.
What's really sad is I won't remember it because I always black out.
Well, whenever you'll listen
we
to
record.
It on Tuesday and be fine. It'll be all new to you again. You'll be like, wow, that girl asked great questions on that show.
She's a star.
Nate, what is your release?
My release is those gloves that have the flip-up mitt things for this stupid thing. Like, okay, I'm not used to cold weather, right? So I bought these things thinking, oh, I've heard mitts are warmer than gloves, but I want to be able to shoot my gun when I need to, right? Yeah. So this is my thought process when I bought these. But then I get 20 yards from a deer looking at me, and I can't shoot my gun because I still got my mitts on. So I'm releasing those things. They suck. They suck.
Amateur hour.
So funny.
Actually, I suck. Those don't suck. It's not really their fault, but I'm blaming it on them.
Well, did you feel like they kept your fingers warmer because you like the heat would circulate in there better?
Right. That's And I do think that, but I don't really have a lot to compare to because I've. Because
you lived in Florida your whole
life. You know, I don't really have a lot to compare to. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. That's fair.
I'll be probably doing a different system from now on.
If you're going to wear just a single mitten, you could just stay home.
Right.
Because you have the same productivity.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like you could just cut a slit in it and then just like when the time comes, you could just like snake your finger out of it and pull the trigger.
That's not a bad idea. But I just could wear fingerless gloves and keep my hands in my pockets. You know, no big deal.
Yeah.
What is your release?
My release is my ankle.
Again.
Yep. I mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but that little effer is not getting any better. And
heifer?
Heifer. That's what I said. No. I'll just say that for all of you listening, and Dean Gerber can attest to this, like getting injured as you get older really sucks.
Wow. Did you just call Dean out? As
I did.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, no, you just like, you just don't bounce back as quickly as you did like in your teens and 20s, and it sucks. That's all. Just needed to complain about it. Thanks, world.
My release is the city of Orlando.
Good release.
Orlando is going to be, it's going to be beautiful when they finish building it.
Oh, because we drove through that mess today. Oh my gosh, you guys.
It's going to be a great town when they finish building it.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, we drove through Orlando coming back from Jacksonville. What a disaster. Like, it literally is like, Emily's like, why are you doing Mario Kart? And I'm like, that's because it's the road goes that way. She was trying to work. And then she paid attention for a minute. And literally the road, am I joking when I'm like, it was like
a series of S's. And they had like the concrete barriers up. So there was no shoulder. So if you got an accident, there's nowhere to go. And it just kept curving and curving. And everyone was driving like a bat out of hell. And so Travis was trying to get away from them. So he was like speeding up. It was like he got the star in Mario Kart. Yes. As fast as he could. It was awful.
It was, I did fantastic though.
You
getting through
did.
There.
Like I felt safe. I just felt like also I was going
to
vomit.
Moreover, tying this tangentially to a conservation issue, we're spending $10 billion on the toll road thing. How about we just take that $10 billion, we go finish whatever the heck y'all are trying to do with I-4 and make it 70. Let's just go. Everyone will say, hey, we're getting the toll roads. We're going to keep growing. Growth is inevitable. Well, then let's just make I-4 150 lanes wide.
Right.
75
like
on each
idea.
Side, all the way across the state. Like, let's just do it. Let's just
Love
lean
it.
Into it if that's what we're going to do. Because it is absurd what is happening now. And then on a Sunday morning at like 10:30, right?
Correct.
Traffic was backed up from Bass Pro Shops, which is the Sand Lake Road exit in I-4,
right,
to Haines City, which is like 26 miles as the crow flies.
Anytime, especially around Disney, every single day.
No, this was past Disney.
Yeah, it's a new pattern of craziness.
Oh, well, you know.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you can drive past that and say, oh, yeah, we're making good decisions for our state. Let's just continue to do the things we're doing. And let's trust the people that made these decisions to make more decisions. It's Comedy Central. It's a clown show. What is your keep, Nate?
My keep is deer hunting, because this is the first time I've been deer hunting in a few years. And not just deer hunting, but the whole thing that came. I camped, and I was by myself, and just getting out there and being in the peacefulness of the woods and just kind of just chilling out, getting away from life and jobs and, you know, just stressors, and just kind of just focusing on hunting deer and enjoying the woods was really good. Great for my psyche. Like, I need that every now and then just to kind of reset, and it felt really good. And I was just glad I went. I know I missed my opportunity there, but seeing that deer that close, probably one of the biggest deer I've ever had a shot at, really. And so just like having that opportunity and having that encounter was awesome. And I just loved it.
That's good. That's good stuff.
What is your keep?
Well, this episode is going to go live on November 12th, and you are my keep.
Aww.
Because November 11th is our anniversary.
11-11-11.
8 years.
Of happiness.
But I have to tell you, so Nate, you're going to freaking love this. Okay. So last weekend, or a couple weekends ago when this goes live, I watched this documentary on Netflix. I'm not even going to name it. I don't even want to start a fight. Okay. But it was just a documentary about like going without meat and like some of the benefits of it for athletes and recovery and things like that.
Oh, look at Nate's face.
I know.
I could just mute my mic and sit back.
Don't even argue, because listen, I watched it and I was like, this is really compelling. This is really interesting. I wonder if I could try it, is kind of what my thought process was. So I like looked up some recipes. I made some vegan recipes. They were terrible.
Shocker.
But I was like, this is kind of a cool experiment. Like, just trying new things is kind of fun for me. And so when we went on our anniversary trip to Jacksonville, I Googled around and I found like a vegan breakfast place. And I'm allergic to eggs. So breakfast is really hard for me anyways. And I was like, Travis, they have this vegan breakfast place. I really want to try it, because I can get fake eggs and I'll pretend like I can eat eggs and it'll be like really cool to me. And so Travis Thompson of this effing podcast, meat eater and hunter extraordinaire, ate some sausage before we left our little Airbnb so that he could take me to the vegan breakfast place for our anniversary. And I had an egg. What did I have? It was like an...
I don't know. It was
an egg.
I took a bite of it and it sucked 90% of the moisture out of my body. it was like a biscuit.
It was like tofu egg salad on a cheddar garlic biscuit with avocado and some kind of sauerkraut. It was really delicious, but I was just so appreciative that he like would do that for me, because it's like a big deal if you know Travis. And I love meat is the end result of all of this. Like, I cannot live without meat. So
yeah, I believe it was day two of your veganism when you came home and ate
pork.
Half a pork tenderloin. And asked if we were getting tacos.
It was a huge lift. Like, I was like, oh, I don't need meat. Like, really, who needs meat? But like going without it, I was like, God, I didn't even want to live. Like, I hated it so much. So that was good. The good thing to know about myself. I learned something.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and I feel like a lot of the vegans in the world, they either love animals or they're wanting to get away from the processed meat.
Mm-hmm.
So like eating wild game as your primary meat source, it's probably just as good for you as going vegan, if you know, if that science is correct or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like not processed, it's not full of fat, it's not, you know, it's organic and wild.
We were even talking about how going vegan or vegetarian, it's difficult to get away from animal. Like, how do they make fertilizer to grow your vegetables?
Right.
Like, there's animal waste. Like, it's very hard to live an animal-free eating
existence. It's a very contradictory position.
Yeah. Because
you are still, you know, animals are still dying for you. You just may not be eating their flesh. You might be eating their bone scraps from fertilizer or whatever. You know, it's like, there's a lot of things. But
yeah, I'm back on on meat.
But thank you for keeping me.
Welcome back.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thanks. Happy anniversary to you too.
This has been fun. You're pretty good and fun.
Thanks.
And I can't wait till we're doing episode 808.
Oh God.
16 years from now.
Come on, patrons.
Yeah. No, I had a great anniversary weekend away with you, but that is not my keep. My keep is obviously Emily. Now you put me in a position where if I don't keep you,
no, it's
like
cool.
It's this weird thing, right?
Week's great. Go do what you
my
need.
My keep
do.
Is the Alabama LSU game.
Oh, that was such a good game.
Woo!
I have no loyalty to either one of those teams. But that was the best football
game. It was a great game.
It was fantastic to see Alabama get whooped up on for a while. Then they kind of came back, but it didn't matter what they did. LSU was just like cool as the other side of the pillow.
Right. Thank you, Stuart Scott.
Was the Alabama quarterback the one that just had surgery on his ankle?
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa.
That made me want to puke watching him play. Because he had surgery 3 weeks ago, like the same night that I injured my ankle. So, like, thinking about playing football right now made me want to vomit.
Yeah, it was just, like, it had all the elements of a great game. It was just
one of the instant classics, man. I mean, just like a all-timer.
I'm not an
SEC like, I actually,
former. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I actually went into town and caught the last, like, quarter and a half of it. And I was just like, I was pulling for LSU because I wanted Alabama to lose. But it was just, like, fun to watch. And then Alabama scored with, like, a minute and a half left.
Yep.
And you think, like, oh, my gosh, if they can get a stop and get the ball back, they might win this game.
An onside kick.
But then LSU just, like, got two first downs and into the game. It was like they couldn't stop them. It was crazy.
All right, I do have one real quick follow-up here. You went into town. Did you hook the horses up to the wagon? And since you were going that way anyway, like, where do you
went
live?
Into town. To get some butter and some flour
some grain
and some
for the coming winter.
Yeah, grain for the mill
and hide for some lard.
Yeah, did you exchange some pelts for a cable football TV package?
yeah. Traded some pelts for some rifle bullets. I needed some more rifle bullets.
Like, I don't understand.
And then I was, back on the Oregon Trail.
Didn't catch dysentery.
Didn't
lose any oxen, ford in the river. Please, someone end this episode.
God, stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. You guys are all the Oregons to our trail. If you haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, please leave us a 5-star review if you can figure out how to do that. If you can't figure out how to do that, shoot us a message on social media at Cast and Blast FL. Please tell a friend about the show if you haven't done that already. We're trying to recruit as many listeners as we can so we can recruit them into the woods and the waters doing it the right way. And don't forget to check out Patreon if you are interested in becoming an official friend of the show or joining our conservation club. Y'all have a great week. Stay woke.